And welcome back to School Spirit on Armor of God Catholic Radio. This is Tom McNew. Father Harry Dean is back with me. We're going to change our focus a little bit this week and in the coming weeks. We'll spend the next few weeks talking about each of our individual Catholic schools in particular. We're going to take a very detailed look at each and every one of them, dive into a little bit of their history, and find out what makes each and every one of them a little bit unique. And for the record, before anybody gets excited, the order in which we present the schools is completely based upon availability of priests and principals. It's not because I choose one over the other. I don't want anybody calling me.
That's not what you said before.
Come on, Father.
Everybody knows we're your favorite.
I'm going to get phone calls.
No, we're going to say that to the next school, too.
Well, Father Harry, thanks again for taking some time out of your calendar and joining us.
Happy to be here and happy to introduce our guest today for today's best school that there is, St. Mary's and Catholic School in Temple. And we have the pastor of the school, Father Will Rooney, my esteemed colleague and dear priest friend, and Mr. Sean Warfield, who is the principal of this wonderful place. And just happy to have you guys, and thank you for being here.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, it's a great honor.
Sean, we'll let you start off here. Give us a little bit of an overview.
All right.
History of St. Mary's.
Okay, fantastic. Well, St. Mary's was started in 1897, 128 years ago, by the Divine Providence Sisters. Hmm. And shortly thereafter, the Incarnate Word Sisters, the Blessed Sacrament, took it over. And their mission was just to bring Catholic education to Central Texas. And we've been going strong ever since. We see now as our biggest mission is to the Great Commission, right? As it says in Matthew 28, that's our mission is to create disciples.
Mm-hmm. Go forth and make disciples.
Exactly. Awesome. We have to adhere to that to be true to our mission as a Catholic school. Yeah. We see ourselves as an excellent Catholic school in the classical tradition. What does that mean? Well, it means that first we're Catholic.
Okay.
Right? Mm. If we're not making disciples, like I said, we're failing. Yeah. The proof is in the pudding. When you come to our Mass twice a week, Tuesday morning and Thursday morning, you see the kids running the liturgy. Mm. How cool is that?
Yeah.
So
now, Sean, you've been here how long now? How many years have you been?
This is my second year.
This is your second year. And Father Will, you've been here almost four.
No, second year. I've been a priest for four years.
Oh, see, I got the numbers backwards.
It's okay.
So you're still both kind of really relatively new to the campus. I'm sure you've got staff and teachers that have been here a lot longer than that.
Oh, yes.
So talk a little bit about your learning curve, using air quotes, as you came on board here, both from principal's perspective and from the pastor's perspective.
Well, there wasn't much of a learning curve. It just, I was left a well-oiled machine by the former principal and some amazing staff that just, they love their jobs. It's not so much a job as it is a ministry for them.
Okay.
And it's beautiful watching them with their students. Mm. When you're surrounded by professionals and you enable them to do their job, it's a joy to come to work every morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so. I would just echo that. I mean, I think about like Sean said that, or Mr. Warfield said that the school was founded over 128 years ago. But we have a staff member who's been here for 34 years. So about a quarter of the length of the
36.
Time. 36. 36 is that
36.
Right? So
yes.
One of our pre-K teacher now has kids who have had kids.
That's incredible.
That is incredible.
That is in her class. Yes.
Where does I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. Yeah. So where does St. Mary's in that 128 years? Where does that fit in the order of march for Catholic schools here in the Austin
Diocese?
We're
the second in the diocese.
Okay.
Second oldest in the diocese. Right. Only second to St. Mary's and Taylor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
So the diocese, as many of you guys listening will know, was founded in 1947. So it was a full 50 years before the diocese was founded that this place existed.
You know, that's to me, that's fascinating that there were a group of people who were willing to reach out to an order of nuns and say, this is so important to us that we're willing to sacrifice whatever's necessary to make this happen. But I get the kind of the perspective that that mentality has not really changed at all, that there's still people willing to make that sacrifice.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right.
That's why we are an excellent Catholic school in the classical tradition,
yeah.
Right? We're not following the latest fads and trends like the public schools are, right? We're not teaching to the test. Of course, we still have tests, right? We still have assessments. There's many ways to assess a student. You have retention of knowledge, but it goes way beyond that. You got to, you have formative assessments. You have interim assessments and summative assessments, screening diagnostics. And we are trying to measure their achievement, their proficiency, but more than that, we are looking at their growth from point A to point B. Every year, we want to see that child grow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to instill the liberal arts, but it's not the controversial term of the word liberal, yeah. Right? It's the, yeah, the Latin term, the Latin term of the word liberal, right? Mm-hmm. It means liber, it was liber, right?
Yeah, free.
It means free.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to strive to live up to,
yeah.
Our mission by immersing these students in the truth, the goodness, and the beauty through poetry, history, through music and philosophy, through the theology, through art, and yes, even dance. We have middle school dance, and it is beautiful to watch these kids go in there and learn, whether it's line dancing or the dance. It's just, it's amazing to watch them,
yeah.
To be a part of that.
To be part of that,
yeah.
Growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But bringing it back to the wonder and awe, mm-hmm. that we're trying to instill in these kids, mm-hmm. to show them that this is the beginning of their acquiring of knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's a lifelong task, and we're concerned with the formation of the whole student intellectually, socially, morally, spiritually. The ancient Greeks had it right.
Yeah.
They said education makes us free, freeing us from error, mm-hmm. from falsehood, and even from slavery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that we can live the fullness of human life in the virtue and excellence. With classical education, we seek to unshackle the students to be independent thinkers.
Yeah. Yeah. Father,
well,
you're
well, no, I think that I just would echo what Sean's saying. That's why this is part of the mission of, yeah. the church. Right.
Exactly.
I'm the pastor of a church. I'm not the pastor. I'm the pastor of a school because I'm the pastor of a church.
Right.
And it's a great joy because we think about all of those things. Well, for freedom, Christ has set us free. That's what St. Paul says in the letter to the Galatians. And we want to be free in every sense of the word. And you can't be free if you're not willing to kind of, or if you're not given the chance to encounter the goodness, truth, and beauty that Sean is talking about today. And yeah, I think that's to your point, right? 128 years ago, these people said, we want our kids to be able to be educated,
yeah. in a Catholic sense,
everything. And over the course of those years, you think of the changes that have happened, right? Yeah. Like, I just think of the number of different things, mm-hmm. that have happened in the past 128 years.
Gosh,
I'll share my. I'm 34 years old, right? So, you know, I can't even imagine it. But it's just an interesting.
Yeah.
Reality to, yeah. now be part of that history of this parish as the pastor and the principal.
The school founded not too long after statehood. That right there kind of puts the whole perspective in the historical perspective.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. I mean, it's really interesting just to kind of consider, like, for Father Harry and I, you know, we're priests, but what would it have been like to be the pastor of this place so long ago? Probably he was riding a horse.
Absolutely.
Around the parish.
If he was lucky,
a dozen different places.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think about all the small towns around here, he would have had mission responsibility, mm-hmm. like a lot of your brother priests still do in a lot of these parishes, even in the diocese here.
Yeah. So I think that what I love about what Mr. Warfield was saying is just like, some of the technology has changed, but the mission remains the same.
Same exact mission.
We are here as a mission of the church. We're here to form kids in goodness, truth, and beauty, to form academically excellent, but more importantly, spiritually developed young people to prepare them for life.
As I was walking in, Earlier this morning, walked past one of the classrooms, and I have no idea what grade any of them were, but they were in the midst of, completing the rosary.
Oh, yeah.
And
fifth grade.
Was it the fifth grade? Okay. Yeah. So as I really didn't stop and listen, but I was listening, and you could hear that the kids enjoyed it. You know, you could hear in their voices, and I know even, you know, and I'm speaking for myself, there's times where saying the rosary in the morning or at the end of the day, you're like, oh, just tell me, I'm here, and you're just trying to power through it. But mm-hmm. the kids really seem to enjoy that, mm-hmm. you know, and that spiritualness of the instruction is.
It's beautiful to watch them fall in love with the rosary like that. And it helps them to seize and own the truth of them being made in the image and likeness mm-hmm. of God. Mm. And this understanding is just the foundation of their inalienable dignity, mm-hmm. right? Mm. And it's so under assault in today's culture.
Yeah.
Especially with social media.
And one of the things, when we were just sitting here getting ready to start, and even as we started, hearing the children across the way, across the hall, through two closed doors and headsets on our heads, that you can still hear the echoes of the children. And y'all keep circling back to that historical feature, which I think has captured our imagination and probably of our listeners as well. But when you hear children's voices without seeing them and they're echoing like that, you can hear the echo of the children's voices from 138 years ago as well. Children,
too. It's a different building, but yes. It's true, yeah.
And yet those same little voices have been joyfully giving their sound throughout the halls of what has been called St. Mary's School. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you guys in particular, and maybe you know and maybe you don't, you know, those voices were attached to parents mm-hmm. and to families. Do we have founding families who had founding school children that are still
that's a wonderful question.
That is a wonderful question.
And if we do, that could be something we could explore and celebrate at some point.
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
Indeed.
I'm not aware of any founding families. I do know of former students who are teachers here. I do know a former principal who attends Mass regularly with us. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, to my knowledge, I don't know any families that have been. Yeah. Well, I mean, I know families that have been around in Bell County for a long time, and so we should explore that a little bit, because I do talk to parishioners and they're mm-hmm. they're like, yeah, I went to St. Mary's School, and my mom went to St. Mary's School and mm-hmm. and all of those things. So that's a great question, Father Harry.
Well, because they're a feature and they're an incarnate mm-hmm. feature.
Yeah.
The unbroken proclamation from the time of the apostles till now.
Yeah.
And that's right here in our place.
In Bell County.
In Bell County in this deanery of Killeen Temple Belton Deanery. And y'all represent that in a very powerful way. But so do these parents mm-hmm. too. And I know that we're about the kids. But this school doesn't happen without the parents. Yeah. And for all the struggles that Catholic schools have across the land, the places, I presume, the places that have strong school are going to have strong parents as well,
yeah.
supporting you, supporting the children, and so forth. Is there anything that in your 2 years that you've been here that you could characterize the parents that you've met, the spirit of who they are, and how they've impacted you or impressed you in any particular way?
Oh, it's just a beautiful community. The parents pull together and they give so much of their time, their talent, and their treasure to whatever we need. If we need parents to come and help us put together a new playground for the pre-K, they'll show up on a Saturday and work.
That's
and if
awesome.
They're not finished at the end of the day, well, they'll get together and say, well, let's come back tomorrow at 2:00 and finish this.
Yeah.
They come out of the woodwork to help us with whatever we need. Yeah. It's a beautiful community.
I also, I love that that example of working together for the good of the whole the whole school, the good of every kid, every child. Mm-hmm. I think also just like our community has fun together. You know, I walk mm-hmm. through the playground every time I come over to the school, and if it's dismissal time, chances are there's like 5, 6, 10, 20 parents out there with their kids running around. you got to watch out. You got to not, so you don't trip over a kid or something like that. But you know, I think that that really bespeaks what we want. We want to, this is not education, raising a family is not an isolated thing, yeah. right? The family is a basic unit of society, but we're meant to live in society. And I love that about our community, mm-hmm. that they really do support one another. You know, I think of the moments like last year, one of our staff members was undergoing some health issues, and we were able to give her the anointing of the sick at a school mm-hmm. mass, and just the entire community as part of that. And
that's awesome.
And that was a great blessing
yeah.
To really support.
So let's talk a little bit about how big the school is. How many students do we have?
We have 199 students right now.
199.
Yep, so 199, listen, that's 144 families.
For those of you that are thinking about Catholic schools, you're up here in a Temple Belton area or even to the east, looking for a place, let's get to the next child would be number 200.
Awesome. There you go.
That's right.
So with that, out of how many? How many could you? You've got to have like a cap.
I have 60 right? empty seats right now I'd love to fill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's kindergarten
that's still
through,
pretty
through eighth grade.
Yeah, that's yeah. still pretty impressive. Kindergarten through eighth grade, 199.
Yep, and we have plenty of empty seats in high school yeah. as well. We'd okay. love to fill those.
Yeah. And do you now? So it, I'm doing math in public here. So, so each one of those classes, then about 25 to 27.
Well, most of our classes are in the 17-18 range.
Okay. See, I said so, math in public.
Yeah.
Yep.
So different okay. different grades have different numbers of openings and
fair
things
enough.
Like that.
Right.
So
fair enough.
That's what happens there. But I think the thing that I would say to people, and I think Mr. Warfield, you'd echo this, just if you're interested, come talk to us.
Yeah,
we would love to talk to you about how we can partner with you for the good of your kid and for your family.
Yeah.
And I know you know, sometimes finances kind of keep people from coming to talk. Again,
yeah.
Please come talk to us, right? Of course, it costs a lot to educate a child, but that doesn't mean that if you can't pay that your kid can't come to Catholic school.
Yeah.
We're gonna figure it out. If you're really serious about it, we're serious about this being a mission.
And I want to just kind of, I'm going to get on a little bit of a hobby horse here myself, because I think that, you know, the responsibility to support the Catholic schools is not left to the staff and the parents, that the responsibility to support the Catholic schools is left to the Catholics writ large in this area, in our listening mm-hmm. area, in our diocese, in our state, whatever.
Yeah.
We have a responsibility. I think each and every one of us, we're always really quick, and I'm guilty of this myself, to say, oh man, those kids, you know, what's this world going to be when all those kids mm-hmm. are our age? Well, we have an opportunity to shape that,
exactly.
right? And so you can either complain about it, or you can make sure that you know, Bob and Sue Smith, who have a couple of kids, that they don't want them in the public school, but they don't necessarily have the funding.
Yeah.
That we can share some of that burden and make Absolutely. Sure that their children are able to.
Yeah, it's all about partnering for mission, right? And,
yeah.
And that's it. You're exactly right. We want to help the Smith kids mm-hmm. get through their Catholic education so that they can be formed to be disciples for the world. They can be great citizens, great whatever God calls them.
Right.
Right. We just finished Diocesan Vocations Awareness Week as mm-hmm. well as Catholic Schools mm-hmm. Week mm-hmm. Today. And you think about that reality of, like, God has an individual call for each of these beautiful children that are entrusted to our care, and every one of us, and so we want to give them the best opportunity yeah. that we can.
And I would suspect your parents, because they're involved in a Catholic school, get a nicer kind of shot, if you will, of God the Holy Spirit to help mm. them discern on behalf of their children
mm.
compared to if they were in a secular environment.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people that come through our place at Cedar Break for retreat, adults in particular, they're looking for something. They're trying to find mm. a spiritual rev up or completion or something of that nature. Parents who are out there and you've got children in public school, just consider if you're part of a community as a school parent compared to a Catholic school parent, there's going to be things here that will plug into your personal spiritual mm-hmm. life that by the development of your children in Catholic school, you'll find some development for yourself as an adult. Mm-hmm. Just hanging with those parents after school, mm-hmm. having those conversations where God the Holy Spirit has a chance to flow through you
yeah.
in the particular context of being in a property of a Catholic school.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
There's mutual enrichment available there, I would suspect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I think it's interesting that I've been fortunate enough to be here a couple of mornings to see the school children in Mass, and you said it, when they perform, obviously you're performing the liturgy, but they are active participants in the roles that are associated to the laity, and I just that's
incredible.
They're
taking it home to their parents as well, and the parents are making comments to me,
yeah.
Their child's teaching them about the two different parts of the Mass.
That's
right?
Awesome.
Their child's teaching them that when we worship in Mass, we're primary. The first part, God is speaking to us,
yeah.
not just relating events that happened long ago. He wants to talk to us here and now.
That's awesome.
So
my homily worked.
That sounds like homily.
Exactly.
It has legs.
That's good.
The kids are asking, what are you trying to say to me through mm-hmm. Father Will's words mm-hmm. or through the liturgy? And he wants to calm our anxieties and bring peace and joy into our hearts right here, right now. The second part of the Mass, God does something spectacular, almost scandalous even, right? Mm-hmm. He's gives himself to us, body, soul, and divinity. And we present to him these simple gifts of bread mm-hmm. and wine and ask God to send down his Holy Spirit to transform it into what is most precious to him, yeah. his son.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think that's interesting, though, that you get the feedback loop, mm-hmm. that you're preaching a homily that's oriented on the children, and then they're taking home to mom and dad, and mom and dad are coming back to the principal going, hey, little Johnny was asking me, that loop, I think, is just, that's astounding to me.
Oh, it's real. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell all my brother priests, if you want to improve your homilies, preach to third graders, right? Like, it's true. I mean,
sponges.
Well, they're sponges. They listen. I mean, they don't listen all the time, but
sure.
they listen, and then they parrot back. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, mm-hmm. man, I forgot I said that. I need to be careful here.
Well, and the dialogue sermons that we used to do at St. Louis yeah. School in Austin, where you'd have your bullet points and you'd have mm-hmm. a couple of seed plant questions you'd throw at them, and you in your head had in mind the answer that they were going to give, so you could segue into the next point. They had their own answers that you're going, oh my goodness, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. No, it's true.
And then all of a sudden, that homily's not yours anymore. Yeah. It's theirs, and it's remarkable.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Mm-hmm. But that child's insight into what they're hearing at the Mass mm-hmm. and what you're presenting as part of the homily, in the entire scope of the Mass, is always.
And it's being reinforced in the classroom as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. That's and right. Hopefully, it's being reinforced at home. That we're asking God to transcend time, space, heaven, and earth to join us right here, right now in the transubstantiation.
Yeah. And I think that's one of another. And we've talked about this before about the aspect of the church, the domestic church, being the primary educators of our children, and the close role mm-hmm. that the schools have to play as the parents are working. Reinforcing those things that they're learning here, the kids are learning here.
Just out of curiosity, in the classroom, over time, over a semester, over an entire school year, do the children themselves ever recognize that there's one or two of their own that get things ahead of everybody else, has insightful comments,
oh, yes.
and then they start to comment out loud about that person? That's so-and-so the genius, or that's so-and-so the saint. Or,
that's been happening since schooling began, right?
And I figured
it's been going on
for time
specific immemorial.
Examples here, too.
Oh, yeah. We have countless of those examples, right? But that's a big part of how we train the teachers to differentiate. And if Johnny's just rocking right along, then we have to, maybe give him some little harder problems. If he's already multiplying fractions, well, then let's divide improper fractions for him or divide some mixed numbers, right? So we're going to challenge Johnny a little bit more while we're working over here with Susie, who's struggling.
But my thought is, in a Catholic setting, that goes beyond just the reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's as in spiritual formation as well.
Oh, yeah.
And people are saying, boy, she gets the scriptures. He gets the dynamics of the Mass.
And
when they start to comment about that amongst themselves.
They do. Yeah. They do. Yeah. And they start calling each other out on that. And they'll be saying, you know, when the sisters come visit, oh, Susie.
Yeah.
She's going to be a sister one day, right?
Yeah.
Because she gets it.
So that vocational discernment flowers up even from among them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You just had the sisters here.
Last Wednesday.
Yeah. How was that? Well,
it's beautiful. It's so fun to watch.
I remember when they were here last year,
the kids try and put the sisters on a hot seat or put the priest on a hot seat and ask them questions that they think nobody's ever asked a priest or asked a sister. You know? And it's so fun to watch kids try to be clever. And we're like, we got your number. You know?
Occasionally you get one where you're like, no, that is a wonderful question.
Yeah.
Let me consider this.
Yeah.
You have to carefully craft your answer, especially if they're a middle schooler, because they'll know exactly what you said.
You know,
and recite it back.
It's wonderful. It's beautiful.
We got just a couple minutes here before we're going to close out the show. You want to talk a little bit about some upcoming events and things? I know you said, like I said, we just finished Catholic Schools Week, and that's not to say that mom and dad who are listening can't come and stop by the school any time.
Of course.
But what anything going on in the near future that you want to highlight?
We have our spring festival coming up on April 27th, and we invite anyone and everyone, the whole community. This is a community event. We'll be selling raffle tickets, getting ready for that.
Yeah.
And,
and that's a big fundraiser for the school,
right,
to help with some of the scholarship programs.
Absolutely.
Again, kind of gets back to what we were talking about earlier with the finances and in our role as laity.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a big way you can help. If you're interested in partnering in mission, maybe you don't have kids, but you're listening to this right now and you want to help a child, we would love to talk to you. And in whatever way you can help, we're so grateful. We have a lot of different opportunities for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We'd love to get you in touch with our development director, Jacqueline Wright, and she'd be more than happy to talk to you. So I think that's one thing. The Spring Festival is a great way to get connected. What other events should we throw out there? Obviously, as you mentioned, Mr. Warfield, Mass. We have Mass basically every Tuesday and Thursday in Holy Day of Obligation at 8:15 a.m., and it is an open Mass to the public. Everyone is welcome to that, and we'd love to have you come join us and see our kids.
And if watching our kids do a Mass doesn't make your heart smile, I'm sorry, you're heartless.
It's true. Every time I walk out, we sing the Salve Regina at the end of every Mass, and the kids know it now, and it's just beautiful. So
yeah. Well, Mr. Warfield, Father Rooney, thank you very much for taking some time and joining us.
Thank you.
Folks, we hope you enjoyed this little bit of deep dive into St. Mary's here in Temple. And join us next week. We're going to chase down Misty Poe, superintendent of schools, and Mr. Robert LeGros, who is the interim principal over at Holy Trinity High School. And we'll talk a lot about the high school itself. And remember to put on the armor of God.